Thanks for checking out this week's message. We hope you're inspired by the Word of God you hear today. To support our ministry, visit www.cothfay.com/give. It's quick and secure. Now, let's prepare our hearts for this week's message.
We're just going to do a review, okay? Today's review, because, you know, we had Mother's Day. We celebrated the mothers. Praise the Lord. No, I'm just messing. Thank God for the mamas. Amen. We celebrate the mother. I saw a neat clip on TV, YouTube, something. We got all kinds of outlets now, but it was professional football players, and it was all the rookies on a team, and they were saying Happy Mother's Day to their mom. I think they were in training on that day, but they made a special effort. All the rookies on a particular team, they were saying, hey, mama, love you, mom. Hey, mom, wouldn't be here without you, mom. All these huge guys, right? And they're talking about, hey, mom. You know, it was really funny. So moms have a very special heart, place in our hearts, and we thank God for mama, all right? So we'll celebrate you all year long, but thank you all for helping our celebration to go well, those of you all participated in that. Now, I said all that to let you know Father's Day is coming up. Set up, right? So don't forget about the daddies, all right? Don't forget about the daddies. So I just throw our plug in there, guys. And we're going to celebrate for that day as well. Okay, so you won't be left out. All right. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we've been talking about building our lives on the Word of God. What I'm going to say today is probably something that you haven't already heard. But it's a way of just kind of bringing us back into focus as it relates to the series that we had embarked upon before. Matthew 7, verse 24, we've been talking about building our lives on the Word of God. And this is the scriptures that I'm using as a foundation for this teaching. It reads in verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. I'll let you get there. Matthew 7, 24. And it reads, therefore, this is in red in my Bible, so I believe this is Jesus talking. It reads, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man or woman, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. So that's a whole lot of stuff going on, right? Rain, flood, and wind blowing, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So that's good news, right? The house withstood the challenges of the weather, and it stood. And then verse 26 says, and everyone, you know, Jesus is making parable here, right? He said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, you could say, here's the word, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And then it goes on to say, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I thought about that this morning, and I was thinking about, why is that so important? Because he was talking about his own words, right? He was basically saying, you better do what I say. You better follow what I'm saying. My words are very important, right? And a lot of times if people were to act like that, we would consider them very prideful, right? But Jesus wasn't being prideful. He was just being truthful. And he said, the words that I'm speaking to you, don't just take them as just ordinary things. They're truths that you can build your life upon. And that's when we talk about building our lives on the Word of God, that's what we are talking about. It's interesting, God's Word has something to say generally, I say generally, about every area of human interaction. It's wild, you know, it's interesting. The Word of God is a miracle. It's supernatural. We were studying healing Wednesday night, and we were looking at the different types of healing that are referenced in the Old Testament that apply to what actually went on in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the Old Testament was eons before anybody had ever even thought about Jesus. But how did God make those things work together? It's just supernatural how he had a divine plan of redemption for mankind. And in that plan of redemption included healing. But that's just to say how amazing God's word is. It speaks to every area of our lives generally. And so it's the word of God. As believers, we're supposed to build our lives on it because that's what God gave us to keep our houses, our lives. When it speaks of houses, it's talking about really you can apply it to your life from crashing and burning. How many of y'all, you know, you want to crash and burn in life? I don't want to crash and burn in life. I don't even want you to crash and burn in life. But the way that we do that, the way we keep our lives secure, successful, and progressive is building them based on the truths of the Word of God. So God's Word got to be important to us. Psalms 18 and 30 says this. You can turn to this one. I don't think we've looked at this one in our study. Psalms 18 and 30. It's a good one. Praise the Lord. Psalms 18 and 30. I'll let you turn there. Psalms 18 and 30. Psalms 18 and 30. It reads, "As for God, his way is perfect." That's good news. His way is perfect. And then it goes on to say, "The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." All right. So this book right here has to be important to us because in this book lies the framework where we can build our lives upon, and it promises us that our lives will turn out well. I want my life to turn out well. Now, I'm just thinking about this, you know, when I preach, Holy Spirit kind of gives me examples and he gives me stuff on the spot, right? So I'm just thinking about how many people live life and they're trying to figure it out as they go. You know what I mean? Anybody ever done it before? Don't raise your hand, I'll raise mine for you. But anyway, you know, we're just trying to figure it out as we go. We were watching something on TV the other day, and a guy who was very athletic and had great promise for his life, but he was just trying to figure out life as he went. And because of his athletic ability that God gave him, he ended up getting into the NBA and made some poor decisions that ruined the pathway of success. Why? Because he's trying to figure out things as he goes. And one thing would happen and he wouldn't have any foundation of the scripture of the word of God to draw upon to know how to make the right decision. So he made the best decision that he thought he should make. Well, how many know, just because he thought he should make it and he thought it was the right decision, you know, it turned out to be the wrong decision. And, you know, he made decisions based on his emotions, based on his endeavoring to be, I guess you could say, macho or not thought bad of, or how people would think of him, and inevitably made decisions that caused him to make wrong turns in life and caused him his NBA career and took him down a pathway that wasn't the will of God. And I thought about that. I was thinking, man, what if he had some scriptures to lean on? What if he had some instruction from the word of God that he could say, now, if I do this, this is what the word says I should do. And if I do that, this is how this is going to come. So I think I'm going to do what God says to do. You know, you follow what I'm saying? So we can build our lives based on a framework of the word of God, and it'll come out right. I remember Bishop Jakes, T.D. Jakes, who's very prominent, successful minister, and has done a lot of things in the people's lives to cause them to benefit. He was saying when he grew up in West Virginia, you know, when they wanted to build a house out in the country, he said they'd just go grab anybody. And he said many of the houses when I grew up, that you could look at them and they weren't level, Like you could go walk in the house and you'd be like in on one area, you'd be walking up, you know, houses are supposed to be level. Y'all know that, right? So, you know, it's kind of like you're walking down the hallway in the church and it's like you're going uphill. And then you get in here and it's like you're going downhill. He said it was like that because they just go grab anybody that was available to help build the house. They didn't know what they were doing. He said they'd go get a drunk and they'd tell them, you know, hey, they pay him with alcohol just to get them to help build the house. I mean, they just get anybody and they'd be nailing here and nailing there, getting the board over here. He said some of the most raggedy houses, they had a roof on them, but they were some of the most raggedy looking houses because people didn't know what they were doing. And so those houses were not built right. Now, don't laugh too hard. Because sometimes we can look at areas in our lives and how they look lopsided. Can I get a witness? Man, we didn't build that right. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have done that. I'd do something different. And so when we find out about the Word, Word can levelize our lives. The Word can, and the good thing about God's Word, He'll go in and what you messed up, he'll straighten it up. Oh, listen to this now. He'll put a leveler on your life. You were crooked. Come on, say, I was crooked. But you can get introduced to Jesus, the master carpenter. And he'll come in and he'll, no, we need to tear that board out because that's crooked. Let's level that a part of your life out. And he'll straighten your life out, man. Somebody say that will preach right there. All right. And I'm going to preach it one day. Amen. Jesus, the master carpenter. He'll level your life out. All right. But we're on a mission here. So let's get back to the notes. All right. So as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So we can trust God and we can trust his word. And we can build our lives based on the framework of his instructions that will cause our life to come out right, to come out successful. Amen. And I just love that, though. I got to go back to it, y'all. I said it would preach. I'm trying not to preach it. But it's, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, how merciful God is. He is such a merciful God. Even when you mess up. And you got to be careful because there's a devil out here and he'll tell you because you messed up, you're not going to be able to amount to anything. You're going to be messed up and now you're just washed up. But God is not like that. God is a merciful God. Even areas that you messed up, God will work it. So I heard one man say God has a way of making it look like you've never been through something before. People look at your life and they're like, wow, you got it all together and things are going so good for you. And say, yeah, that's because God, he washed me with the water of his word. He cleaned me up so good that it doesn't look like what I used to be. Man, I'm so glad I serve him, man. I don't know about you. We serve a good God. Y'all just say it. We serve a good God. Glory to God. He's so good. All right, so we want to build our lives on the word of God, all right? And so really, when I was thinking about this, this came to my heart. Our relationship with God will be reflective of our relationship with his word. Isn't that interesting? Our relationship with God will be reflective of our relationship with his word. So it's kind of like this. You know, people, and I said this before, I think, people really build their Christian life on a lot of different things. And sometimes it's just like a roller coaster ride up and down. Why? Because we if I feel God, you know, I feel goosebumps and everything, you know, God is with me. But if I don't feel good or if I don't feel a certain way, God, I don't know where God is, what's going on. And so we can build our lives around things that have no bearing whether God is with you or not. The only bearing that we have, it's kind of like this. They say when you fly an airplane and you fly, you should not fly an airplane without being at night, without being instrument rated. Instrument rated means if you can't see, you fly by the instruments. Does that make sense to you? So during the daytime, you can see. So you can see what's out there. But at night, sometimes you can't see. And if there's no light, how do you know where you are? How do you really know whether you're going up or whether you're going down or whether you're level? And so they say you have to be an instrument rated pilot, which means you have to know the instruments. You have to know what is it, altimeter is, and all of these instruments that the pilots fly by. You have to understand them, because you can't base what's going on in your life based on how things look. But you have to live based on, or fly based on the instruments, because the instruments are the truth. Likewise, in life, we have to learn how to live our lives based on the word of God, because you might feel Monday, you might feel bad. Tuesday, you might feel glad. Friday, I know you're going to be happy. Praise the Lord, because Saturday is the weekend, right? So, but you can't live your life like that when it comes to God, because God is a spirit. And so, you know, God does things based on his word. So we want to build our lives on the word of God. And so I made this statement. I'll say it again. Your relationship with God will be reflective of your relationship with his word. Because God does things based on his word. Just an example, a couple, right? Married couple. If they don't spend time together, their relationship will be weakened, right? They won't know who they are. They'll draw apart instead of... Likewise, if you don't spend time with the word of God, your relationship with him will be weakened. But when you spend time with the word of God, and when you make his word a priority in your life, things get gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. Likewise, that'll be a marriage tip for some of y'all who are married or want to be married. If you spend time with your spouse, you get to learn them, get to know them, and treat them real good. Praise the Lord. Things will get gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. All right, so we got to make the word of God a priority. Now, that was one of the things that we went over. God's word has to be priority. Say that with me. God's word must be a priority in our lives. Now, why do I have to say that? Because we have so many distractions in life. Man, we got more distractions now. You know, that cell phone, thank God it can be a blessing, but it can be a distraction, because you got people coming at you. They want your attention, right? They want your money, right? They're pulling at you. They want your information. They're blinking stuff at you all the time. Everybody wants your click, praise the Lord. And so if you're not careful, things can distract you, just life in general. And so we have to make the main thing, and prioritize the word of God. Now, when you look at the life of Jesus, and his ministry, Jesus was doing one of three things, generally speaking: preaching, teaching, or ministering to the sick. Yeah, he had a healing ministry that was very prevalent. And so people knew him for, if you saw Jesus, he's gonna be preaching, he's gonna be teaching, or he's gonna be ministering to the sick. Now, why is that important? Because it's interesting how important preaching and teaching was to him. And not so for him to be big shot Jesus, but he knew the value of preaching and teaching to the people that were around him. Now, I want you to look at this scripture. We've probably looked at it before, but flip over. You in Matthew now, right? Flip over to, you're not in Matthew? Okay, you're in Psalms, but turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, you'll see this. I want you to see this, amen. Matthew chapter 9, and we're talking about the importance of the word of God, the importance of the word. If Jesus spent the majority of his time preaching and teaching and then ministering to the sick, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then preaching and teaching is still important today. And so who was he preaching to? People that would hear him, people that would listen to him. And so very, very important. But Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. Y'all see that? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Listen now, because they fainted. Y'all see that? And were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That speaks to me as a pastor. Pastor's a shepherd, because it says if people aren't taught, they don't have the word preached to them on a regular basis, they'll become weak. And they'll faint. Why would I faint? Because pressures of life overwhelm me. Right? You know, you faint because it get too hot, right? Well, you faint in life when the pressure of life gets too strong on you and you don't have anything to stand with. So I'm just emphasizing the priority of the Word of God. Early apostles, they had a challenge in their the first church. People weren't getting served like they should have been served. And the early apostles, the Bible says that they had a decision to make. Should they leave and go take care of those the widows? And the apostles, based on their experiences with Jesus, they said, it's not right for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables. And they said, we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Because what would happen if they fail to continually ministering the Word of God? The people would be faint. They would faint, and they wouldn't have anything to live by. They would scatter. So the early apostles over in Acts, they said, we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. What am I doing? I'm trying to show you biblically the importance that God, Jesus himself, put on the Word of God. God's word. Amen. All right. And then let's look at one more example. Well, we got two more examples. I got to give you two. I'm going to paraphrase one and then I'll give you another one. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus left some words to us before he ascended on high. He said, go ye therefore, teach. Isn't that interesting? Go teach. Why is that so important? Why would he make that on the top of his list? Because he understood the value of teaching people the Word of God, for their hearts to be strengthened with the Word, for them to have something that can hang their life on that would not fail them, for them to have the ability to overcome the enemy. It comes from the Word of God. So he said, hey, dudes, I know you got a lot of things you could do, but make sure you teach. Make sure you preach. He told them, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. You know, make sure that's a part of the ministry, though. Don't forget to teach. Don't forget to preach. And for you that are listening, don't forget to listen. To hear. I guess I'm pushing this podium all over the place. But anyway, don't forget to listen. Amen. To be a hearer of the Word of God. To make God's Word priority. And then here's my last example. Let's look at this one, Ephesians 4. I'm just looking at this from a little different angle to show you the priority that God placed on the Word of God. Ephesians 4. Let's look over there. And then I'm going to tell you what that will do, why it's important to make the Word of God a priority. And but look at this. When Jesus left, Ephesians 4, let's look at verse 10. Let's look at verse 8, Ephesians 4 and 8. Say this with me, the Word of God is important to God, and it should be important to me. Yeah, we got to make this important. We ought to be wordies. What do they call people that like different food foodies. We need to be wordies. Come on, say, I'm a wordy. I love the word of God. Amen. We got to be wordies. All right. Ephesians 4:11 says, or 4:8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This is talking about Jesus. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? What is that? He went into hell and he whooped up on the devil, took the keys of hell and the grave. And then he came back up, all powers in his hands. But then it says, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And, say the and, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's important here to me, and then as we're emphasizing on this, is God specifically called people to preach and teach to his people. So he gave them a special grace and anointing to teach and to lead and to minister his word to those people. How important is that? He thought it was extremely important. And thank God for singing. We need to sing. Amen. Thank God for fellowship. We need the chicken. Praise the Lord. We need God's bird. Praise God. But we need the word, y'all. We need to make that a priority. We need the word of God. Amen. And of course, we need to worship God and praise him. That's all a part of it. But we can't leave out the importance of the word of God in our church lives and in our individual lives as well. All right. Now, what does the word of God do? All right. So y'all see the importance. Okay. And so next Sunday, we're going to close this out. But next Sunday, I'm going to make it very, very practical in terms of, you know, it's interesting. You know, you go to the doctor says you need this medication, right? But then when you get the medication, it tells you how you to take it, right? So it's good. Today we're learning that we need the medication, okay? We need the word of God. Next week we're going to learn how we take it, okay? But let's just reemphasize this. Why is the word of God so important? Why do I need it? Why do I need to take my medicine? Number one, and this is not an infinite list, right? And God's word does a whole lot of stuff, but just some highlights. God's word will produce spiritual strength. Strength. Say that with me, strength. And I'm saying spiritual strength because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in the body. We have a soul, we educate our soulish man, our thinking, our body, right? We feed our body. All y'all look well fed in here today, praise the Lord. But our spirits are just as important. What feeds our spirit? The word. Now, I said this, I thought it was a great example. When you eat food, matter of fact, I was looking at this. I take, my wife and I take a multivitamin. It's a liquid multivitamin. Y'all know what a multivitamin is, right? It's multivitamins, right? And so I looked at that thing and I looked at all the different stuff in it. It's amazing how packed that stuff is with vitamins and with, I mean, this thing is loaded. I mean, it is loaded. And that's how the word of God is. It's all kind of like a multivitamin for your spirit. When you feed on the word of God, and I had to get past this, it's more than just because I want to understand everything. Y'all, I know y'all do too. You want to understand everything you read and you want to know it right now. And then you'll get sidetracked on, and you go study this, that, and then you get sidetracked, and you never finish your reading. So I had to get that, work through that. I had to understand that when I'm reading the word, that's my reading time, and I may not understand everything right now. There'll be a time where I'll make a note, and I'll go back, and I'll study it when I have time. But right now, I'm just reading, and some things I'll understand immediately, some things I may not. But while I'm reading, I'm feeding. I'm feeding my spirit. Come on, say, you're feeding your spirit. So when you're reading and you're hearing the word of God right now, you know, as we read these scriptures and we teach and the anointing's behind what we say, you're actually, your spirit man is getting fed. And that gives you an element of strength you may not feel. Because we are a what? Spirit. So just because you can't feel it, doesn't mean there's not something going on. Your spirit is being strengthened when you hear and you feed on the word of God. Say that with me. When I read, I feed. Yeah. That's why a regular dose of the word is important. That's why they say, the doctor tells you take this, what, every day, once a week, once a day, or whatever, three times a day, or whatever your dosage is. So you need to be your own doctor when it comes to the word of God. And take your medicine. Amen. Come on, say, look at your neighbor, say, have you been taking your medicine? Now, you know, people get downright dogmatic about their medication. Yeah. Natural medication. Oh, I didn't take my meds. Or sometimes, did you take your meds, right? But we understand that, right? But likewise, we got to be that same way about the word of God. God's word is important to our spirits. Now, let me give you scripture. Proverbs 18 and 14. You can make a note. I'm just going to read it for the sake of time. It says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now, the Amplified Version says this. The strong spirit, say that with me, strong spirit. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So it's the strong spirit that will sustain you in challenging times. And for a believer, we have something to do about our spirit. We can strengthen our spirit with the word of God. We can feed our spirit on the word of God. That word will affect us in a lot of areas, but it'll strengthen our spirit, man. You know, I just heard this. When your spirit is strong, you'll have the, listen now, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When your spirit man is strong, you'll have the ability to reach up for the answer. You follow what I'm saying? You know, if you're on, just think of it as an invalid. You know, they're weak and they're in the bed. And they're lying there, and they want a drink of water, but they don't have the strength to reach over and get it. So they have to press a little button, bzz, if you know you're in a hospital facility, whatever. And the nurse has to come bring you the water, put it to your mouth. But when your spirit is strong, you might not have all the answers, but you'll know how to reach up and go in the direction that your spirit man is telling you to go in. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You may not know everything to do, but because your spirit man is strengthened, when it's time to do something, you'll know. Well, I don't know what to do, but I know I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go figure. You follow what I'm saying? So it's important to have a strong spirit. Otherwise, you fall out. You faint. I'm coming to join you, honey. Y'all remember Fred Sanford? Elizabeth, I'm coming. That's every time he got in a challenging time, he'd grab his heart and say, and the sad thing about it, I think he died of a heart attack. But at any rate, that's another story. But anyway, we want to feed our spirit. Amen? It's life or death, y'all. Now, Matthew 4:4, I know you know this one, but it says, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Come on, say this with me. I purpose in my heart to feed my spirit with the word of God. Yeah. Giving you some scriptures here, some feeding scriptures. First Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about spiritual development so you can grow. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. So we want to feed our spirit. So we don't say babies, right? We're developing, we're growing spiritually. And then John 6:63. No, I'm rattling here. I'm giving you machine gun version. But John 6:63, it says, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, quickeneth means to make alive, right? The flesh profiteth nothing. Then he says this, the words, come on, say the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Isn't that interesting? And they are life. So God's words, when we hear his words, we're feeding off of the life of God is getting into our spirit.
Yes.
It's like plugging up to a battery, man. And I found this, unfortunately, I found it through experience. Sometimes I'll be hungry. I think I'm hungry. I'm looking for something. And just nothing can fulfill me. I know none of y'all been like that. I'm just like, man, go in the refrigerator. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. Close the door. Go in the cabinet. I don't want that. You know what's happening? I'm spiritually hungry. This is just my experience. I'm like, you need the word, man. And then I sit down and feed on the word of God. And I'm like, yeah, that did it. That's exactly what I need. I needed some God in me. I needed some nourishment for my spirit to be. That's the only thing that could satisfy me, some spiritual nourishment, some truth from the word of God, his presence on my life. Come on now. Sometimes you just, you know, you're hungry for something and you don't know what it is. It's time to go get in the presence of God. It's time to get in his word, begin to worship him a little bit, tell him how good he is and how much you appreciate him. And you watch what'll happen. You'd be like, I was thirsty, but that kind of filled the thirst. But it's not a natural thirst. Your mind's trying to tell you. Now, no, that's something spiritual. You need some time with God. Come on, say, I need some time with God. Now, let me just throw this at me so I don't have to throw it at you. But sometimes there's a element of frustration. It's not anything natural. You just need a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to get in the presence of God, just be refreshed, because life been draining you. People been draining you. You know, people, they mean well. They have the best intentions. They're not trying to throw any shade on you, most of them. But they just can be draining sometimes. And if they're draining you and you don't have anything to pull out of you, you're going to get frustrated. Oh, Jesus. I'm just preaching to me, but it's good for me. I don't know about y'all. It's good for me. And then you mess around, say something, act away. No, your well is empty. And you don't have anything to give out. So now you're at the bottom and dirt's coming up. Keep your well full. In essence, stay full of the presence of God, right? The word of God. You'd be better to live with, Christian. Now you expect the old sinner to act like the devil or somebody that's carnal, ain't thinking about God anyway. They're saved, they're just making it into heaven, but they're not really thinking about it. But I'm talking about somebody that is, you know, praise the Lord, saints. How y'all doing? Blessed and highly favored. One of them kind of Christians. You expect them to do a little bit better. Amen. Now have mercy on them. Come on, don't put your sanctimonious self on them and say, they know they need to be acting better than that. Talking about they all saved and full of the Holy Ghost. They ain't full of nothing right now. So have mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, have mercy. But now you work on you. That's all I'm saying. Let's work on us. Make sure we're not the one that's, you know, acting ugly and all that kind of stuff. All right. The word of God will help that. Amen. Come on, say, I need help. Yep. And the word will do the helping. Amen. We need help. I know y'all need help. Y'all look good, saved, sanctified, but we all need help. Even your pastor needs help. Amen. And the help comes from the word of God. It helps from staying in the presence of God. And you know, I was thinking about this. It's amazing where I get messages and thoughts and stuff. I was in the shower thinking about this. The world tells us one thing, but the word tells us something else. Now, here's this case in point. Now, I'm going to just make this my next point. So the word of God will give you strength. Say, the word of God will give me strength. The word of God will change your thinking. Yes. Now, the scripture says this. I think it's Isaiah. It said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But the point is, we're supposed to learn his ways. And we're supposed to learn his thoughts. Now, I was thinking about this in the shower, just how we think about things. How many of y'all ever heard, don't talk to yourself? Yeah. If you talk to yourself, you're crazy. Right. You ever heard that before? Yeah. The Bible says, talk to yourself. Yeah. So you see how different that is? Yes. Yes. It says, speaking to yourselves right. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. But the world says, don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. And definitely don't answer, you're double crazy, right? But the Bible says, talk to yourself. The Bible says, hold fast your confession of faith. So I started thinking about that thing. I need to talk to myself more. I'm just going to say what God says about me. And say, when's the last time you talked to yourself? Just say the right thing. Just say, God, you're so, I said it when I was thinking about this in the shower. I said, Lord, you really love me. I'm loved by the Most High. That's what you got to say to yourself. Because if you don't, listen now, if you don't talk to yourself, there's one who will talk to you. And he don't like you very much. His name is Satan. Oh, he'll be talking to you. Nobody love you, your ugly self, you little ugly thing. Look at your hair. Oh, my God. He don't play fair. So he tells you all kinds of evil stuff. And then you'll start thinking about yourself in a certain way, negatively. And then you'll be going down the negative road for life. No. So if you don't talk to yourself, and God's given us words that we can say to ourselves, you are my beloved. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. More than a conqueror, look at you with your blessed self. So when you wait, here's what I dare you to do it, double dog dare. When you get up in the morning, you know, you do your daily routine, look at yourself in the mirror. Just look in there and say, look at you with your blessed self. Look at you. God is on your side. Girl, boy, you looking good today. God is with you today. You're blessed going in. But what you put your hands to. See, if you don't say that to yourself, and you can say it based on what? The word of God. But if you don't say that to yourself, you're going to look in that mirror and you're going to be like, oh, God. I need a different soap or something. No, just somebody got to help me this morning. No, you talk to yourself. What you going to say in the morning? You and your blessed self. Look at your blessed self. Ooh, you're blessed. So what I'm saying is the word of God will change how you think. It'll change how you think about yourself. Amen. And so we're going to get to how we make application of it. But we have to make sure that we allow the word to change how we think. Because many times the word will say something that it'll challenge the way you think. Anybody ever been challenged the way they think before? So for instance, here's one, here's a very practical one that everybody has to deal with, money. Come on, say money. Everybody deals with it. We all want more no matter how much we got, right? So, but the Bible says this. It challenged the way I thought about it. It's like, give and it'll be given to you. That don't make sense, God. That's challenging the way I think. So if I take this and I take my Chick-fil-A money and you told me to give it to Pastor Paula so she can get a salad, what I'm going to have for lunch? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, that doesn't make sense. And the Lord says, no, give. It'll be given back to you. That defies natural knowledge, but it's a spiritual principle. So at that point, you have to examine your life. I'm just using that as an illustration, y'all. You have to examine your life in whatever it is in the light of the Word of God. Proverbs 11:24, scripture I was going to give you, says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Wait a minute. I got a bag and I throw all the seeds away, but it says if I do that, I'll increase. And it says there is that withholdeth more than is meat. So if I hang on to it, it says it tendeth to poverty. This is just how the word works sometimes. It'll talk to you and it'll change the way you think. The liberal soul shall be made what? Fat. That means if I give it away, I'm going to get more. And he that watereth shall be watered also what? Himself. So that's a lifestyle instruction. That means don't go through life stingy, or else you're going to be poor. Go through life liberally. And when you have an opportunity to be a blessing, and when you can, be a blessing. Guess what will happen? Blessing will return to you. That's a different way of thinking. Y'all know that's just generally, that's just a different way of thinking. So now I just use that because it's a very tangible example. But in many times, God's word will challenge the way you think. Now, don't be religious. Don't be traditional. Don't go back to, well, you, my mama said. Well, we love you, mama. Come on, say, we love mama. I said that at the beginning of the service. We love the mamas, right? But now, when it comes to the word of God, it's either God. Remember, Jesus said, hear my sayings and do them. You're going to be like the person that built his house on a rock. So whose instruction are you going to take? Now, see, here's the deal. When you spend time hearing the word of God and you you decide that his word is a priority. Now, God is gracious. Come on, aren't y'all glad God is gracious? Because he doesn't get mad at you if you choose your thoughts over his thoughts. What he does is he keeps giving you more of his thoughts. Because he wants you to see how his way is better than your way. So he'll help you. He'll keep trying to shine the light on the right way so that you'll see it and then you'll choose it. Because he knows if you choose a way of doing things that's not in alignment with him, you're going down the wrong path. You're not going to have the blessing and success he wants you to have. So, but I'm glad he's gracious. I'm glad he just doesn't slap us and say, you sorry, no good thing. No, he says, okay, now look, every time you get to this decision point, you do this. Now, my word says, and then he'll bring somebody like me along, your pastor, and I'll amplify whatever he says. That's the Holy Spirit, ain't me. I don't know all your business, but God uses me as a tool to amplify his word, to give it to you in a way that it makes, it's palatable to you. So now when you get to that point again, you'll be like, now pastor said, and he showed me in the word, and he gave me this example. Every time I get here, God's trying to tell me something. maybe I need to consider what he said and make that the way that I make decisions. Whew, heavy, heavy, right? So, because people have a way. I mean, we got our own way. Y'all know we have our own way of thinking about certain things. Some of y'all are just as stubborn. Y'all stubborn. Now, I'd be like Dr. Price. I didn't call any names. I just said, y'all. But some of us, all of us, we're stubborn in certain ways that we do things. And sometimes God is trying to tell you, no, there's a different way you can do that. Oh, God, do I have to, Lord? Okay, I will. When it comes to relationships, we've been hitting our head up against the wall doing it this way. God says, if you would ask me how you should kind of go about this, I can make some things happen just like that for you. So I'm just leave that alone. Y'all start talking to God and finding out, you know, here's one of the things I did. You have to ask him, Lord, show me this. What do you have to say about this situation? What's your word say about this? Oh, now he said, now I got something to work with. They're asking me to talk to him. And I remember Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, who one of our mentors, he was saying something about one thing. And he said, you know, he had these visitations with Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. He said he had 6 visitations. The Lord Jesus just in the spiritual vision came to show up and talk to him about stuff. And he said one day, he said, Lord, if that's what you, I can't remember the exact thing, but he said, if that's it, you're going to have to show me in the word. And he said, I can do better than that. I'll show you 4 places in the scripture. And he took him to the Bible and pulled out 4 different places where he was trying to get across to him what it was that he was. And he was like, you got me, you know. And so here's the deal. Now, here's the other side of this fence, right? Let the word talk to you. You follow what I'm saying? Now, this is going to sound kind of sacrilegious. I have mercy on me, but some people are so religious, they think you're supposed to believe what they say just because they said it. Because I am all-American Christian. No, I don't have to believe what you said just because you said it. You may have my best interest at heart. I want to see what the Bible says about this.
Come on.
And the person, if they love you, they say, yeah, you need to see what the Bible says about it. Don't just take my word for it. What does the scripture say about this? And then God will show you. God has a way of showing you. He'll take you to the word if you have a right heart. But now, if you're just stubborn, hard-headed, want to do things your way, well, I can't help you. God can't even help you. People say, God can do anything. No, he can't. He can't do anything. He can't change your mind about how you think about things. He can introduce some things to you, but if you don't want to change your mind about it, he's there's this one man, and he was like 80-some years old. Kenneth Hagin was saying he was ministering to him. He was at a church. The church pastor wanted him to come talk to this man because he's like 85 years old. The doctor said if he just does the wrong thing at the wrong time, he could have a heart attack any minute and die. And Brother Hagin came, and he said the man came to him and said, you have to prove to me that there's a God before I'll be saved. And Brother Hagin said, well, you'll just have to go to hell because that's not my job to prove to you that there's a God. My job is to preach the word. Your job is to believe whether there's a God or not. He said the man was 85 years old. He got so mad with him when he was walking out the door. He put his hands in his ears and did like that at him. Because he said he's supposed to prove to me. That's your job, preacher. Prove to me. And I'm telling the short quick, but long or the short, Brother Hagin said, the guy came to him like 3 times in a week to tell him after service, prove to me that there's a God. And he said, I'm not proving you. You're just going to have to go to hell because I can't. I'm not the one to prove to you. And he said he got home and he was really frustrated about the man. And he said, Lord, how can I help this man? He's 85 years old. If he has something happen, he's going to die. He's going to go to hell. He said, the Lord told him, pray for him and ask that the scripture be revealed to him in Hebrews 11. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He said, Brother Hagin, he said, okay, Lord, I'll pray. He prayed that prayer. And he said, the next night he came to church, the man came up to him. He said, all night long, that scripture's been at the foot of my bed. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You can't make me believe, because I do believe. Pray for me, and I'll be saved. What happened? What happened? He couldn't make him do anything, but the word had to be what? Revealed to him. And all I'm saying is when you purpose in your heart, you want to know what God has to say about it. You want to know what God has to say about this situation, that situation. It's in the book, the word of God. And then you have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, he'll shine the light on you. And then that word will provide the instruction that you need for your life. Two more points. I'm done. The word produces faith. The word produces faith. The best thing we can do for people, right, is to give them the word. Give them the word of God. Don't give them your opinion. Don't give them your experience. I remember I was talking to my wife about the Holy Spirit when we first started dating, and I gave her my experience, and she thought I was weird. And she didn't want anything to do with this Holy Spirit. It's only when the word shined in her heart that she was able to receive. My experience won't produce results. So the word produces faith. So we want to make the word a priority in our life because it'll produce faith. And then my last point, and we're done, is almost done. The word gives you instruction for your life. The word gives you instruction for your life. Let me give you a scripture for faith. The word will produce faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all doing all right? Let me see if your amen's still on. Amen. All right. Good deal. All right. And then God's word gives instruction for your life. Psalms 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth that makes us free. So the word will give instruction for your life. So John 17:17. So we need the word of God. Let me give you a couple other scriptures. Go study these. 2 Timothy 3:16. They're good. I don't want to leave them out, y'all, so have mercy on me. 2 Timothy 3:16 and Hebrews 4:12. 2 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 4:12. All right, now here's my last point. I want you to go home with this. We need a heavy, consistent, regular, remember I said that? Heavy, consistent, and regular, about the same, right? Heavy, consistent, regular dose of God's word. We need a heavy, consistent, regular dose of God's word. Y'all remember the testimony I gave, or I spoke on the guy's behalf. Guy had AIDS in Dr. Creflo Dollar's church, and he got miraculously healed. And he asked, Dr. Dollar interviewed him and said, what's the change? He said, Pastor, I just started coming to church on a regular basis. Hearing the word of God. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said some of the most miraculous healings happened in his meetings just as he was teaching the word of God. Just teaching the word. He said one woman came to him and she was all excited. And she said, look at my foot. I got shoes on. And he was like, good. I'm glad you got shoes on. And then he found out she never wore shoes before because of the deformed feet. She said, while I was in the meeting hearing the word, I received healing. So the word, we need a regular, consistent dose of it. And I like the way Paul said it. Paul rescued every preacher. He rescued every preacher when he said this. He said, in 2 Peter 1:1, he said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." It's okay to come to church and hear the same thing again. Matter of fact, we shouldn't always want some new revelation. No, sometimes, remember I used my dad told me to make up your bed, make up your bed, make up your bed. It was that I had heard over and over and over that made the difference in terms of how I carried out things in college. Sometimes we just need to hear the word over and over and over and over and over again, because what happens is the first time you hear something that you haven't heard before, it's an establishment of the truth. The next time you hear it, it's a development of that same truth that was originally established. And why is that important? Because we are creatures that forget, and we can let things slip. So something you heard this time last year, you may have let it slip. So you have to hear it again. So you're like, "Oh yeah, that's right. I need to talk to myself, Pastor. I know the Bible says that, but you just brought it up again. This week, I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make a melody in my heart to the Lord." So there's things in the Word of God that we have to constantly be reminded about. Amen. I'd be afraid if every time my preacher got up and said something way out that I'd never heard before and never said something that I knew was the truth. Some things he says I ought to know if I'm paying attention. I ought to be my amen just ought to get stronger. Because I have a stronger what? Belief in it. Y'all follow me now. So we're talking about building our lives on the Word of God. And so we have to give place to the Word. We have to make it a priority in our lives. We have to give ourselves a consistent, regular dose of the Word of God. I said this last time. You'll hear this again. You have to show up for feeding time. Praise the Lord. When the word is preached, and when you do that, there's tremendous benefits that you get. I started taking that multivitamin. I let it slip, praise the Lord. I'd let the multivitamin slip. So I went back to taking it. I was like, man, after about a week, I said, I feel a little better. Why? Because I was getting some nutrients that I let what? Slip. And so every time you come to hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit will be reminding you of different things you and I need to put into place. I'm preaching them to you, but he reminded me while I'm preaching them to you about my own life. And I had to go back and put them into practice. Amen. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Come on, say, I'm building my life on the word of God.